It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, we'll talk to a law and women's studies expert about the legislation unveiled today aimed at combating campus sexual assault.
First, we're learning about a new theory being used to explain regional differences. There can be big cultural differences in different parts of the United States. The South can be perceived as more politically conservative. The Northeast may be more liberal. The Pacific Northwest, more laid back. The list goes on.
One psychologist decided to try and figure out why there are such different outlooks on life, why they're so region-centered. She's here to discuss the theory that might explain these differences, centering on the idea of how tight or loose a region is when it comes to social norms and those who deviate from them. Michelle Gelfand is a professor of psychology and distinguished university scholar teacher at the University of Maryland. Michelle, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, to start, we probably all have a sense that, yeah, we're different from region to region. Why did you decide to dig deeper into the causes or behind those differences?
Well, you know, states vary a lot on historical and ecological conditions, on the types of people that populate them, and also their outcomes. But there's been very little to date any kind of theory research to help explain this variation. So why, for example, is the incidence of illicit substance abuse greater in states like Hawaii and New Hampshire relative to Mississippi and Ohio, but incidents of discrimination are much higher in the latter than the former? Or why do some states like Oregon and Vermont have high levels of creativity but low levels of social organization, meaning that they have high mobility and divorce, whereas other states like Kentucky and North Dakota exhibit the exact opposite patterns? We were interested, is there a parsimonious explanation? And we thought there might be.
And the explanation you focus on has been called the tightness-looseness theory. What is that?
That's right. This is a distinction that originated in anthropology in the late 60s, where Pietro Pelto was studying traditional societies and found that across over 20 traditional societies, that he could differentiate them in terms of how tight or loose they are. Tight cultures meaning that they have strong norms and low tolerance for deviant behavior, and loose cultures meaning they have very weak norms and have a high tolerance of deviant behavior. And after that study, we actually published a paper in Science that used this distinction to understand modern societies. We surveyed over 7,000 people across 33 nations and over 20 languages, and were able to show that nations around the world also vary in how tight and loose they are. And we thought, well, maybe this distinction can help us understand our own state variation.
So when you're surveying people in a state, what are you looking at to find out if it's more on the tight or loose end of the spectrum?
That's a great question. So in this particular study, we wanted to get data that were really reflective of the strength of punishment in states and the degree of latitude, because this is the core aspect of the construct of tightness and looseness. So we gathered data on things like the percentage of students that are hit in schools as an indication of severity of punishment, or the execution rate, or the severity of punishment for violating laws, as well as latitude and permissiveness, access to alcohol, for example, ratio of dry to total counties that allow alcohol. And we submitted these this data to what's called a factor analysis, and found that there was a very strong, clear factor that differentiated the states, where we can rank order states on the degree to which they had strong norms and little tolerance for deviance and low latitude versus weak norms and a lot of latitude.
And so what did we find? Who was at each end of this tight, loose spectrum?
That's a great question. So the tightest states were located in the South, included Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Texas. The loosest states were in the East Coast as well as in the West, including Maine and Nevada, Washington State, Oregon, and California. And what we were interested in testing is something that we found predicted tightness in the international level, and that is to say that societies and also states, as we found, that are tight tend to have a lot of ecological and man-made threats. So in other words, what correlated with this index were things like natural disasters. States that were very tight have a much higher level of tornado risk and other types of death rates due to heat and lightning and storms. They have lower natural resources. They have higher disease and health vulnerabilities. And our theory is that when any group, state or nation, experiences a lot of threat, they need greater, stronger norms in order to survive. They need them to coordinate. And that seems to be a principle that we found explains tightness both in the international data and also within the context of the 50 states.
So is this historically these states have had those conditions, or even on into the present day, those conditions behind the tightness and looseness, we can observe them today?
Exactly. We gathered data from a wide range of sources, and were able to show very strong connection between ecological and historical types of variables and tightness. In the international data, you could see that even things like population density in the year 1500 predict tightness. When you have contexts that have a lot of density, a lot of people per square mile, you require greater rules and to coordinate that behavior, or there could be great chaos. So that's right. You can see this both historically and also contemporaneously. The other thing that we were able to show was that states that are tight and loose vary very much in the types of people that populate them. So, for example, tight states have people that are higher on what we call conscientiousness, people who are more rule-abiding, but they tend to be lower on what's called trait openness, openness to experience. And loose states have the exact opposite pattern. They have people that have lower conscientiousness, and they also have people that have higher on openness. And there's other connections between things like creativity and discrimination. So, for example, loose states have actually a lot higher creativity and lower discrimination, whereas tight states have lower creativity and higher discrimination. At the same time, tight states tend to have more stability. They have more self-control, so they have less divorce, they have less mobility, and they have higher self-control in the sense of having less substance abuse and less homelessness as compared to loose states, which have much lower rates of self-control, much lower rates of stability, and higher homelessness. So in a way, you could think about this as depending from your vantage point, both tightness and looseness have different sources of advantages and disadvantages.
Right. When I've seen your article in the or your research in the media, a lot of the comments are along the lines of, aha, my tightness or looseness is better. It's a value judgment on it. You're not making that value judgment. It kind of how we weigh these depends on the values we bring in the first place.
I think that's exactly right. I think that, you know, as I said, it really depends on your vantage point in terms of what kind of criteria is the most important to you. Self-control and order and predictability are things that go along with tightness, but they also have other effects of having lower creativity and higher discrimination, less openness to others. Likewise, looseness has much less self-control, much less stability, but more creativity and less discrimination. I would say that I think the extremes of both, we don't find this necessarily in the United States, but we do find it internationally, but the extremes of both, extremely tight and extremely loose, we find both have disadvantages, probably for different reasons. So if you're living in a context that's extremely loose, it's very hard to coordinate behavior and there's a sense of anomy and a sense of meaninglessness. But if you're living in a very extreme tight state or nation, that can also be very repressive. But as I said, in the U.S., we don't seem to have that extreme variation because we're part of the same country, of course. But we do see that internationally, the extremes do have disadvantages across the board for things like health and other subjective well-being outcomes.
Josh on our Facebook page wonders what the authors think. He writes about the different groups of European settlers and the impact they have on tightness and looseness. So do you think there's some impact on the conditions from the old country when people settled here?
I think certainly that's the case. I think you can see that, you know, in the context where you have people migrating toward the frontiers, toward California, for example, that had that kind of openness and wound up settling there, you see that that's helped to promote that kind of mentality. So there's, you know, certainly an effect of settlers. There's also an effect, like I said, of ecology, of what's happening in terms of the environment that these states are facing, whether it's natural disasters or food supply. So there's both top-down from the environment and also bottom-up types of effects from the settlers, as the author would surmise.
So can we drill in even closer, say, within a state? I know here in Wisconsin, people between Madison and Milwaukee may look at each other as a different world or rural parts of the state and the cities. Can we use this tool on a closer-up level?
I absolutely think so, because, in fact, the index that we developed, the data that we assessed it on, actually, there's certainly community-level data that's available on some of the indices that we collect at the state level. And I think that in any state, you know, you could find variability within the state as well. California, for example, though it's very loose, likely has, you know, clearly some pockets of tightness. Likewise, Louisiana, which is quite tight, has pockets of looseness. And I would imagine also Wisconsin has the same phenomenon. And I think that we could measure it and look to see where that variation is.
So your research is a great conversation starter. How are you hoping people use this theory down the road?
Well, you know, what we're trying to do is help people understand a wide range of differences through a more parsimonious conceptual roof. You know, maybe the terms tightness and looseness people sometimes misunderstand because they're colloquial. We kind of drew on them from established scientific literature and wanted the continuity to use them. But we think it's important that people understand that there's a reason why differences exist within nations, across nations, that can be parsimoniously explained by tightness and looseness. We think that it's a major component of any social system where you have to deal with degrees of constraint or latitude. So, for example, you can also sort of drill down into the organizational and industry level. We can think about how industries vary in terms of tightness and looseness as adaptations to their own environments. We can think about the military versus civilians and how these cultures might also be differentiated across the lines of tightness and looseness. And so I think it provides an organizing principle that can help us to understand and explain variation in a lot of different contexts.
And maybe help us talk to each other.
That's right.
Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. Very interesting research.
Great. Thanks for having me.
That's Michelle Gelfand. She's professor of psychology and distinguished university scholar teacher at the University of Maryland.